Well, the passage is John 3:16, but I'll read verses 16 to 21. It's on page 1071 if you want to follow along in the Bibles. So page 1071, but before that, why don't I pray for us all? Father God, thank you very much indeed for an opportunity we have to come away in the middle of a busy day and to listen to you speaking to us. Thank you that you do speak to us as we read your Bible, as we hear it read and explained. And I pray, Father God, that you would speak to each and every one of us now by your Holy Spirit as we look at this verse from John's Gospel. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so John chapter 3, and I'll read verses 16 to 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. I'd like to start with a quote from Freddie Mercury. So he was the lead singer of Queen. And at the height of his fame, he said this: "You can have everything in the world and still be the loneliest person. Success has brought me world idolization, millions of pounds, but it's prevented me from having the one thing we all need, a loving, ongoing relationship." Now, that's a very honest quote, because in many ways it taps into a longing that we all have to be loved, to be accepted, you know, to find our sense of identity and belonging in relationships, in a relationship, you know, relationships that are loving, that are ongoing. But here's the thing. Do these sort of relationships exist? Where do we find them? Can we find them? So the last few years, it has seen an explosion in online dating websites. 1,400 alone now in the UK. People are searching. People are looking. No, but are they finding? And if you believe the statistics, then as a nation, we're told that we are now increasingly sceptical, generally speaking, of one partner for life. We're described now as commitment phobic. We don't trust that it's going to work, that it's going to break down, are they the one really? If we do get married, if you are married, nowadays the age is later and later, so it's in the 30s is the average age. And out of all marriages in the UK, now 42% end in divorce. Now, that's not just to be overly negative, but it is to be realistic. Even if you are someone here today who says, you know what, I am happily married, or I've got a happy relationship, happy partnership. The fact of the matter is that all of us have to face the reality, the fact that one day we will all die. And so no matter how good a relationship we have in this life, if we are one of the lucky few, actually death ultimately separates all relationships. And so are we kidding ourselves? You know, this longing we have to be truly loved, have a truly ongoing relationship. Is there even such a thing? Let me read out verse 16 from our Bible passage. Jesus speaking, arguably the most famous verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, three things for us to see from this verse. First, God does love you. God does love you. That's what the first part says. For God so loved the world. Now, whether you believe in God or not at this lunchtime, I wonder how you imagine God to be. For some people, like Richard Dawkins, let's say, maybe at one extreme end, you know, God is described as an evil monster. For others, God's sort of just a grandfatherly figure in the sky. Some think of God as, well, he's too far and he's too distant and too remote. I mean, look at the world around us. For others, he's sort of a God of anger and wrath, and he's going to nail you as soon as you put your foot out of line, like a traffic warden with a fine. However it is that you imagine God, I hope we can see that first and foremost, this verse, the Bible, describes God as a God of love. In John's Gospel, this particular Gospel, we see very clearly God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons, a community, in relationship with one another, loving one another for all eternity. God is a God of love, and out of that love bursts forth his love for the world. For God so loved the world. But what's so amazing about this verse is that the love that is described here in verse 16 is an unconditional love. What I mean by that is that word, the world, we need to get this phrase, the world, right. You might think, oh, that's quite a neutral phrase. God so loved the world, all the people in the world. Yeah, of course he does. In John's Gospel, the author John, one of the eyewitnesses of Jesus, uses this word world with a negative undertone. As a world which does not love God. A world which by nature has turned its back on God. So just glance down to verse 19. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, Jesus Christ, but people, acquainted with world, loved the darkness of sin, that is, rather than the light of Jesus Christ. So this is a world in rebellion. This is a world which ignores God. This is a world which actually pushes him away. So earlier this week, my three-year-old Theo, he woke up particularly early. He actually wakes up pretty early every morning, but this one was like 5-something or other. Daddy! You know, he's shouting, and we've just moved in, as I say, to Old Street. We've got neighbours either side. I don't want them woken up, so I dash downstairs, try and settle him. Can't do it. What do you need? I'm thirsty. So I dash downstairs, you know, get him a cup of water, give it to him. I'm hungry. Try and give him a little snack. I'm trying to settle him so I can get back to sleep, the rest of it. Absolutely not having it. In the end, we decide to go downstairs, and I think, well, great, you get little time with your kids. It's good to spend some precious time. So get him dressed, take him downstairs. As we go into the lounge, he sees a little box of toys that we've got him, and he dashes over to his favourite fire engine, turns to me and says, all right, Daddy, what did he say? He said, go away now, Daddy. And he was actually sort of pushing me out of the room, back upstairs. And I just thought, typical, you do everything for him, and he turns around and says, pushes me off. But I tell you this story just as, it gives us a little picture of what John's describing here. That, we live in a world made by God. You have come this lunchtime to this meeting in bodies and walking, given to you by God. Every good gift comes from him. He's done everything for you, given you everything. And yet, how often do I just push him away or not listen to him, or not care about him, not care about his ways, his purposes. If we do hear, we are confronted with what he says. Do we, so to speak, sort of push him away? No, not interested, go away, I'm in control, it's my life, don't want to hear from you. This is what it means, the world. It's what it means to love the darkness. And yet, God loves this world. For God so loved the sinful world. It's an incredible thing that God would love like this. So please don't think that phrase is, for God so loved a good world. I'm a good person, I don't kill anyone, and I don't lie. Well, not all the time. Sinful world. For God so loved a sinful world. Unconditional love. Verse 16 goes on to speak of perishing without it. We shouldn't expect it. We don't deserve it. And yet God loves us. I was on the phone this week trying to sort out my tax credits. Leaving it a bit late. I don't know if you've ever tried to phone the HMRC. It's a real... you have, yeah. I mean, you get through one number to the next when I find the right department. Eventually, I get through to this person. And I think he must have just been having an off day. He was just really obnoxious on the phone. I was trying to change the address, trying to give him my updated details. Just wouldn't do it, wouldn't listen to me. I tried to ask him for an explanation. He sort of gave it quite huffily, asked for it again. He was getting angry with me. Now, I tell you, when I'm treated like this, I'm not sure about you, I don't particularly love this person. I'm not sort of intending to love them. I want to speak to their manager, slam the phone down. Thank God he does not treat us like this. When we don't listen to him, when we're being obnoxious to him in our own ways. For God so loved the world. And this is a love which is so different to the world around us. So when I was growing up, He was very much, you know, do well at school. You know, and the teachers will like you, or do really well in your job, and your boss will accept you. Say the right things, do the right things, and that little social club, you know, they'll have you in. It's all conditional love, conditional on you meeting the right standard. Or the love songs, which are so popular, sort of, you know, radio music downloads, whether it's Jackson 5 or Maroon 5, Rihanna, Justin Bieber. So often it's, you know, I love you because you make me feel great, because you're so attractive, because you do this for me. What if you don't? Or what if it is attraction, but what about when the looks fade? What if someone more attractive comes along? What if you muck up? What if you do make a mistake? Well, what then? You know, love in the world, it can be so enslaving because you're so worried, if I put a foot wrong, what happens? That's probably more like the traffic warden. Not God's love. You muck up, you put a foot wrong, God loves you. You ignore him, you hate him. God loves you. Unconditional love. If you are someone here that thinks that God is out to get you, like a traffic, he is not. For God so loved the world. If you think he's distant, he's here. In those rare moments when we get to see ourselves as we really are, and perhaps you don't like what you see, and perhaps you ask that 1001 questions, does God really love me? Here's your answer. Yes, he does, for God so loved the world, the sinful world. Okay, so that's the first thing to get, first part of this verse. The second is to see how God loves us by sending Jesus to die for us. You see, it's one thing to say to someone, I love you. It's quite another to show it and to demonstrate it, to do it. So, you know, I tell my wife I love her lots. But if it's the case that, you know, I come home from work and I put my feet up and I'm just chilling out and being lazy while she's tidying up around me and feeding the kids and changing nappies and putting... It doesn't happen once or twice, mate. But if it were, you know, she would say, you tell me you love me. Get off your backside and show me you love me. So here we are. We've got this phrase, God loves you, for God so loved the world. Okay. How, we might ask. How does he love you? How does he love me? Next part of the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. His only son is Jesus Christ. His giving of his only son refers to Jesus' death on the cross. In other words, God has shown his love for us by giving his only son to die for us. Now, how does that work? Why does Jesus need to die for us? Well, we need to go back to what we were seeing before, just about this word, the world. Being a sinful world and a rebellious world. The problem of sin is God's just. He's all good. He's going to deal with all that's bad, wrong, evil, injustice, and sin in this world. He must do. God must punish sin if he's just. Can't sweep it under the carpet. I think we're used to that. And Theo does push me away, or he smacks Jemima on the head off. I've told him repeatedly not to. I don't let it go. You know, you tell him off. You can't ignore it. God can't ignore sin. And so as hard as it is to hear, and there is a question time at the end, by nature, if you sin against an eternal God, there is an eternal punishment. Okay, so sin is really serious. Justice will be done. But here's the thing. You grasp that, you grasp how much God loves you. Because God loves us so much that even though we're like this by nature, he chooses to deal with our sin himself, in himself, by giving his son to die for us, in our place. Does that make sense? So when Jesus is dying, yes, it did happen 2,000 years ago. God had to choose a moment in history when he comes to earth to die for our sin. But when Jesus is dying on the cross 2,000 years ago, he is dying for you and me and our sin. And every time we've turned our back on God, every time we're obnoxious, that's how he can keep forgiving us. That's how he can keep loving us. Because Jesus has paid for it once for all. So Jesus dies so that we would not perish, but have eternal love. So how does God show his love for us? Well, by sending Jesus to die for us. The Son of God himself giving his life for you. I read this just a while back. Brian Wood and his wife Erin were travelling through Washington in America to visit their family. Brian, the husband, is driving, and America's on the left side. And they're travelling, and his wife on the right, she's 40 weeks pregnant. And they're driving down this two-lane road when a car comes speeding around the corner, swerving all over the place. And in that moment, Brian's just got a split-second decision to make. So he turns right, swerves right, as quick as he could. So he takes the full brunt of the crash. Now, he dies instantly, but his wife, Erin, and 40-week-old child is saved. Speaking to reporters afterwards, Erin Woods said this: "It's pretty obvious that if it were a head-on crash, we both would have been killed. But Brian made that choice to save me and the baby. It breaks my heart, but it also fills me with such gratefulness that he was willing to make that sacrifice." That is a small picture of the sacrifice Jesus Christ has made for us. The difference, of course, is Jesus didn't deserve to die. He was sinless. He lived a perfect life. And yet he chose to die for us, to take the punishment of sin for us, to do everything in his power to make sure this loving, ongoing relationship is possible, so we would not perish, but have eternal life. So if you want to know how much God loves you, look at the cross. If you want to be assured of God's love right now, look at the cross, Jesus Christ, his death for you. Selfless, sacrificial love. And can I say again, so different to the world around us. I'll speak for myself here. A lot of my love sometimes can be very selfish and focused on me and looking after number one. And love can be costly. With Jesus, he's exactly like that. Selfless, sacrificial. He's not selfish. He does everything possible to allow us to come to God and have this relationship. So it could be that you are going through a rough patch. I mean, I'm here for the first time, not met you. Maybe you're coming here this lunchtime and you're stressed out with work, or you're not happy at home, or you're facing financial insecurity, or you're suffering in some way. And you might be thinking, you know, is God there? Where is he? Does he love me? And again, the answer is very clearly, yes, he does. It's not just words. He has died for you. That's the second thing to see. Thirdly and briefly, finally, we need to see the need to respond. Okay, so let me read out that last, final part of the verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." By the way, we've not defined eternal life yet. In John's Gospel later on in chapter 17, verse 3, you don't have to turn there, John defines eternal life as this: "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent." Okay, so when you think of eternal life, fundamentally it's about relationship with God the Father and God the Son. So here is this loving, ongoing relationship. Loving, because it's God's love and it's unconditional. Ongoing, because it's with him beyond death and into eternity. It's here. It does exist. Here is this loving, ongoing relationship. We want, we need, but there needs to be a response. We need to believe, the verse says, in him, in Jesus. God will not force himself upon you. So like any relationship, you need to step out in faith, to trust the other person, to commit yourself to them. And yes, with Jesus, you commit everything, you trust him with everything. That he does love you, that he has died for you, that he's got your best interests at heart. It is about trust. And I know we said earlier, if you know you are a particular commitment foe, and here is the one person that you can trust with everything. You can trust him with everything because he has given everything for you, even his own life. And please, just so there's no misunderstanding, because I got this wrong for the first 22 years of my life. It is whoever believes in him. It's not whoever's good enough for Jesus, whoever tries harder for Jesus, whoever reaches a certain standard, whoever says the right things, does the right things, you know, the sort of conditions. Whoever's religious, no, it's whoever believes, trusts. Realise they're a sinner. Realise you're part of a world in darkness, a world in rebellion. But you accept his love. You accept his death for you. You turn to him from the darkness to the light. Yeah. You respond in faith. And so if you haven't done so already, no, why not make today the day you do commit yourself to the one relationship that is truly loving and is truly ongoing. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, I think we have a question time in a moment. Before that, you can collect your thoughts. Let me pray for each and every one of us. Father God, we thank and praise you for your great love for us. in sending Jesus to die for us, a love we don't deserve, because we are sinful, rebellious by nature, but a love which does offer forgiveness and relationship with you now and for all eternity. And I pray, Father, that you would move in each and every one of our hearts to believe this and to trust it for ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.